Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
The Bruins are in action tonight on the Sports Hub. Solak and Bertrand are on the Star Market Sports Deck at Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Welcome back, Zolak and Bertrand at Warrior Ice Arena. Noontime hour on this Thursday. Beatles, though, Hardy.
What's up?
Got some stuff to get to, more football, including this. Headline last night from Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk. Are Steelers trying to get Le'Veon Bell to not show up? He writes, something strange seems to be happening when it comes to the Steelers and running back Le'Veon Bell. As his final reporting deadline for 2018 approaches, and it could be that the Steelers are trying in not-so-subtle fashion to persuade Bell not to show up at all this year. That's the only way to explain the sudden emergence of a report from NFL Network, owned directly by the league and partially by the Steelers, that Bell would be eligible for the quarterback franchise tender in 2019, regardless of whether he signs his franchise tender in order to get contractual credit for 2018. Like, what? This is where the franchise tender system just gets too complicated.
Yeah.
Never gone this far down the path. Wait, he gets the quarterback tender? What?
This makes no sense whatsoever. Huh?
I don't think of it as the quarterback tender. Think of it as the highest possible of any position.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Which is the quarterback.
Highest tender of any franchise tender in the league.
Okay, whether or not you agree with the player and whether or not he's doing the right thing here, and hey, you got to stand up for yourself if you believe this is right for you, and a lot of people do that, because the National Football League is not like any of the other sports where you have the guaranteed money. And if this is the way he feels. But as a team, man, you're 7-8 games into this thing, 9 games into this thing, and this guy isn't even anywhere near the building. This becomes toxic within the locker room if this guy sets foot in. I don't care how freaking good he is.
So Florio writes,
I don't care how good he is. You have a team now, and you got a good back in Connor that plays hard. And this is a screw job to the offensive lineman, too, and Roethlisberger.
Go ahead. It says, the language of the labor deal supports a plausible argument that if Bell doesn't play in 2018, his status would be told by a year. Second, the NFL and its teams are not in the habit of caving preemptively on plausible arguments that could be made within the confines of a formal grievance. So basically what Florio's saying is, since when did the league start telling you how to navigate their deal with the players and find the loopholes in the deal? Since when did the league start pushing, oh, hey, well, you know you could do this against us, right? Like through the league-owned thing? I mean, through their media outlet? There's no way. He says, why would the Steelers in the league concede this important point now? The logical explanation is the Steelers simply don't want him to show up, and this is their way of sending a clear message that if he doesn't show up, they won't hit him with the franchise tag again in 2019. How about that? He said there's no other reasonable explanation for the league's decision to use its media platform as a megaphone for the notion that the Steelers, as a practical matter, can't use the franchise tag on Bell again in 2019. He says the league isn't in the business of surrendering potentially valid legal arguments under the CBA. They're working against their own cause here, Zoe. through their media outlet, NFL Network, because next year would be the quarterback tender. So here's what the Steelers want. They don't want him showing up. They don't want him there. They don't want to give him the $6 million if he shows up this week. Right?
Right.
Right.
They don't want to do that, but then they don't want him to go play for anybody else, so they won't rescind the tag.
I can see both sides. I totally see both sides.
Who are you rooting for now?
I'm actually rooting for the Steelers.
Oh, bull crap. Let me know, Bill. I want him to show up now. I want him to walk through the door right now and say, oh, good, you're not going to franchise me again? Fine, here I am.
What do you do, Butler him? Here I am. Not play him?
Fine, but then he gets paid.
I know he gets paid. That's the problem.
If you were him, would you give up the year? Because you still lose the year of service time if you don't show.
Well, I mean, he's made a lot of money. Stuff. He's made a lot of money at this point, and he's going to continue to make a lot more money. At some point, you got to look at the value and the time of a running back, you know, and the amount of, and we've talked about this going back to his Michigan State days, Hardy. Yeah, I remember you looking at the numbers there.
The
he was carrying it 30 freaking times a game at Michigan
40.
State. What are you going to do when you hit 30, 31? You're out of this league, man. You're gone. I know Adrian Peterson's playing and playing pretty well right now. That's an anomaly. That doesn't really happen with running backs in this league. He's going to have to cut his losses at some point, look at it, say, okay, now I'm starting to hurt myself and my long-term earning potential.
He's not doing that yet, though.
I know
he's not
that.
Hurting his earning potential.
I know that. But then
but now
like,
the Steelers want to keep him away, well, not pay him, and then not let anyone else have him.
Then you become one of those malcontents that, is this guy all about money or what? I mean, you know what I mean?
I'd show up.
You're on a good team. You're on a contender. Steelers are trending in the right direction. They're playing together. That back's running hard for him. What kind of message is that to your team? He walks in that room, and he's taking reps away from Connor.
I'd show up and get my $6 million right now.
Eesh.
Here I am. Pay me. And then what? What are you going to do? You're going to let me walk is what you're going to do. If you're so intent on me not being here, then let me walk at the end of the year. So this all happened yesterday, last night. And then today it sounds like Le'Veon Bell and his agent had no idea that this was a thing until this report came out. And now they realize it, and it makes it less likely that it's going to show. They had no idea. The league, like, sent them a message through Tom Pelissero. Yes. Of NFL Network, laying this all of a sudden
back channels.
Like, listen, Tom Pelissero is a great reporter, but do you think he came up with this on his own?
No.
Like poring over the legal documents?
No.
Come on, no one buys that. Someone tipped him off. Hey, check into this. Look at this. There's a valid legal argument that if he doesn't show up, he's going to get the highest tender next year. So, I can't believe this. What a dirtbag move by the league and the Steelers. Show up. Stick it to them. Show up and make them uncomfortable. And from a Patriots perspective, we should all be rooting for that.
Oh, yeah.
If there's chaos that follows him through the door and internal issues as a result, I'm rooting like crazy for Le'Veon Bell to show up there.
Cause some disruption in that locker room?
Yes.
It's only going to help the
that
Patriots.
Team plays tonight, by the way. They're taking on Carolina tonight.
That's right.
This is a massive
Thursday night game for them. Big one.
You're going to
find out. If this team on a short week, based on the way I think they're trending, where, okay, they're starting to get hot, maybe they can be a contender. If they could go and pop Carolina tonight, you get another 10 days off because, in essence, this coming weekend will be a small bye for them. That's big for Pittsburgh, considering what they're going through. Plus, a receiver got cited today for driving 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, 100 mile an hour today. Speeding ticket for a Steelers player.
That kid's fast, man.
We'll tell you which one.
He does everything fast.
We'll tell you which one that is. You ever driven 100 and gotten pulled over for it, so?
I got up to 138.
Did you get pulled over?
No.
138.
Got my doors blown off.
All right, tell us that story coming up here after the action update.
This is the home of the Bruins. With the Bruins. Zoe and Bertrand are live at Warrior Ice Arena from the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Get to anywhere, maybe we make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere. Any place is better.
Nice song selection.
Starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove.
I was driving in my car, speed so fast.
Antonio Brown today, Steelers receiver.
Got he does everything over. Fast, Beetle. Come on. He's, everything's fast with this guy. You saw his commercials with the pizza thing with him and Malcolm Butler.
Well, he got pulled over for doing...
driving fast.
100 miles an hour, apparently, on McKnight Road. Tell me about McKnight Road in Pittsburgh.
McKnight is a... It's not the highway. It's not 79, but it's... It's a road you should not be driving 100 miles
per hour. Posted speed limit in that area is 45 miles per hour.
Would you say it's like Route 1?
Yeah, it's probably even less than that.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. but a 45-mile-an-hour road, generally, you could probably do 70, you know, safely.
Yeah.
All right,
you don't even know you're going at that pace.
All right, now we got to get to this part of the story. What's the most you've ever been pulled over for, like, over the limit?
Oh, pulled over for?
Yeah.
80s.
Like in terms of number of miles per hour over the limit that you were. Jim's already laughing.
I was 80s and a 65. How fast were you going when I fixed your ticket?
93.
Ooh. I think I was doing it.
Trying to get my kid at preschool.
93 and a 65?
Yes.
88 and a 65 in Missouri, and the state trooper told me, you know, there's no reciprocation, so if you don't pay this ticket, we'll have no way of coming after you, wink, wink. Just don't get pulled over in Missouri ever again.
Oh,
that was a nice thing for him to do. I never paid it. Oops. Probably shouldn't say that.
If you rent a car,
I'm just kidding.
Here's a question.
Big Jim Murray,
by
the way.
I got a 59 and a 35 once.
That was probably a bad one.
But it was on a very rural, middle-of-nowhere road. I didn't realize that it was a 35. Yeah. And when he pulled me over and was like, do you know why I pulled you over? And I'm like, I was probably going a little too fast. He's like, yeah, like 25 miles an hour. I'm like,
Whoa.
I had no idea.
Whoa.
They're like, wow, there's nothing out here. It's like cow pastures.
Right.
What are we doing? Yeah.
So now, what's the fastest you've ever driven?
Zoe says 138.
Now, I wasn't 138, but the person...
driving?
Yeah.
Probably right around 100.
Yeah. But if you're in a really... If your car's really, really good, and like, if you've ever been in a Lincoln...
100, 105.
I'm not talking about like a
that.
Lincoln Town Car.
Oh, like an old school...
You get those babies just... Like Billy Lanny's car, too, that Merc.
Feel like your wheels aren't even touching the ground driving one of those.
You look down, all of a sudden you see like 94. Like, whoa! You like break.
Spaceship.
Wow, felt like I was...
My Vegas car. And I bought it down to Tucson and drove it back to
I'm
Vegas.
Sorry, you had a specific Vegas car?
Well, the car that I had when I was in Vegas.
What was it?
It was a BMW M Series Coupe. Just the...
Hardy strike you as a BMW guy?
It's a great car. That thing was like a go-kart. And, I mean, you get that out on the highway.
Yeah.
I mean,
you got to push it.
It wants to go 125. It just does, and it's smooth. So
I raced Bledsoe on 295 once. Frank Mendy's our old security guy.
Former state trooper,
you
right?
Idiots. Like, you idiots, you realize you blow a tire nut, but we're not. Nobody's married. You're single, stupid. So I had the vet, and Drew had that Porsche. I say 138 because I was getting up there. He said he hit 138, and he blew my doors off. So we would... The old house, we in between practices, we'd go back and hang out, and then we'd sort of be late heading back to camp, and we get a 295. He looks, because you want to go. I floored. I'm beating him, and all of a sudden, that turbo. Nothing like a turbo, a Porsche turbo, man. I look down. I'm well over 100. I'm like, wow. He's like, I think I had 138.
I've driven that at a speed long enough to where I didn't know how fast I was going because I was afraid to look at the speedometer. You know, you glance down to check your speed and you miss a quarter mile of road. I mean, that's when you're going. That's when you're going fast.
Greatest, you're going entirely too fast.
Oh yeah.
Greatest cruise I ever had though. It was the Packers Denver Broncos Super Bowl at San Diego. I was out in L.A. at the time, so I went down to Rucci's. Rucci was living in Mount Soldat up there in Torrey Pines up by the course up there, right next to the ninth hole. I rented a Yellow Viper from L.A. and drove a Pacific Coast Highway the entire way down to San Diego. I was moving.
That's a good time.
It was badass, man. It was badass.
You know what you guys would be into? SB Nation put out a podcast. I think it was last week this thing posted about the Cannonball Run, which is still a thing.
It is.
It's not like the movie where everybody leaves at the same time. It's just if you want to attempt the Cannonball Run, here are the rules. You got to leave from this spot in New York, and you have to arrive at this hotel out in California, and you have to document your entire journey with GPS and signs and, you know, postings, and there's all this stuff. And a guy who has had this dream for years and years and years finally decided to do it. and he wanted to break this long-standing record of driving, doing the cannonball run. And he had all these notions of how he was going to get it done. He was going to pack pig hearts in a cooler, and he was going to tell cops if he got pulled over, he was transplanting human organs for donation, right?
Pig hearts.
And other cops told him, like, don't do that. Don't lie. If you get pulled over, they told him two things. Number one, the cops will think it's kind of cool. They're still going to give you a ticket, but, you know, just be honest. And number two, the difference between going like 30 miles an hour over the speed limit and 60 miles, if you're going like 130, you know, in a posted 65,
good on your
it's the same fine.
Yeah, you're but at some point it gets criminal, doesn't it?
No. Once you go a certain amount over the speed limit, unless you, you know, smash into somebody,
yeah.
And the guy said, not only did he break the record, he said, I've never felt safer because there were three guys in the car. We didn't have any music. We weren't talking on the phone. One guy was the spotter. One guy was on GPS, and we were hyper aware for the entire 28 hours and 55 minutes it took them to drive from New York to L.A.
That's wow.
It. And they broke the record, and they said it, and it's like, okay, I did that. I did. Scratch that one off my list.
Well, he was going 100 miles an hour on McKnight Road. This is Steelers receiver Antonio Brown. He was heading south, and he was cited for reckless driving. Here's what he got. So he got a citation for reckless driving. Steelers said, we are aware of the situation, but still gathering information.
We are aware of the situation.
The best part.
We won't have any further comment at this time.
Why the cops were there? They were responding to a bank robbery.
This is interesting.
At McCandless Crossing. Do you know where that is, though?
I don't.
Okay.
It's probably the name of the shopping mall.
They see the Porsche.
Yeah, a lot of strip malls.
Yeah, yeah, there's a million of them.
Driving over 100 miles an hour, they think, huh, maybe this guy just robbed a bank. And pulled
them
over. But they said immediately, no, he is not a suspect in the bank robbery.
Oh, good.
But there's a bunch of cops around looking for a bank robber.
What's up, AB? Good luck tonight. Go get him.
Wow.
Catch that rock.
Reckless driving. $200 fine. Could lose his license for 6 months, but... if it's his first offense.
I hope Connor goes off tonight just to stick it in Grambling's ear. He wasn't real happy with our picks tonight.
No, he wasn't.
He's kind of meh.
No, he wasn't. I don't think he liked our picks.
He doesn't like the Thursday night picks because it takes you out a lot of those big money contests,
oh,
too, right?
Too bad.
If you can't,
gamble.
The Thursday
boy.
Games don't add the big money ones in there.
Yeah, don't get the
Look
the
at Billy Jaffe just taunting us here at Warrior. Comes by, waves. How you doing, Billy?
Well, you know a lot on TV here.
Can't even come over. Give us a wave.
Go Sox.
He's going to get in trouble.
Don't get in trouble?
Don't get him in trouble.
Get in trouble?
Guys, don't get him in trouble.
Don't mention my name. Don't put me on air.
Don't even say my name.
Look at this, huh? More sandwiches.
Here we go.
Yeah, get a little sandwich delivery coming up.
Grilled cheese time. Thank you.
It really is a great place.
Oh, yeah.
It really is. Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
That's
appreciate
so nice.
That. Look at that.
Is that soup done yet? Did you put soup on yet?
Did you get the right one, Hardy?
I got no ham.
That's nice.
Oh, I got ham on. Yeah, that's me.
You got ham?
Yeah, I got ham on there. Zoe said try the ham. Right. I did exactly what Zoe did.
I'm doing exactly what I did last time.
What do we do next? A little bit of little press conference stuff from down Tennessee? Get into some of the stuff Vrabel?
I thought we were going to do that at 1 o'clock.
No, I know that, but I mean, we got to start talking about this game, man.
Zoe's apparently got a thought that he needs to get to on this game, so we're going to let him air that out coming up next, right after these headlines.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Bruins take on the Canucks tonight. We're live at the Warrior Ice Arena, where this morning at the morning skate, it was Yaroslav Halak first goalie off the ice. Looked for him to get the start in net tonight. Puck will drop just after 7 o'clock as the two teams play for the second time already this season. Bees dropped one in overtime out in Vancouver back in October 20th. 2-1 was the final. Celtics also playing tonight. They're in Phoenix trying to avoid a third straight road loss as they're out on the road for 5 games. The Suns play host to them at 9 o'clock. That game will be heard over on 105.7 WROR, pregame at 8:30, tip-off just after 9. NFL Week 10 begins tonight. 6-2 Panthers visit the 5-2-1 Steelers. And Dez Bryant, his deal with the New Orleans Saints, going to pay him $600,000 base salary for the rest of the season. That was learned today. Headlines are brought to you by your local Nissan dealer. Get to Nissan's year-end event and save big. Shop ChooseNissan.com today. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. Get your headlines anytime on your Alexa voice-activated speaker or right here in 30 minutes.
Sports
Zoe and the Beatles.
95 The Sports Hub.
Here on Zolak and Bertram. What do you want to get to on this game? You got something that you want to get to.
So my man Jeff Howell's already down there in Tennessee. So he's on the ground down there reporting from Tennessee. It's a big week, obviously, you know, heading into the bye. And he said first thing he sees when he walks in Tennessee Titan locker room, it's Logan Ryan and Malcolm Butler playing
mini hoops.
It's interesting.
Why is that interesting?
You know the press is coming in. Here's two former Patriots in there, and two highly paid former Patriots. Logan Ryan got some nice money, too. 3 years, $30 million. Malcolm's getting paid well now. You look at the spot for these two corners. I'm not going to say, like, this is a big one for them, but you're going against a guy that you know very well, a team you know very well. And for Malcolm, it was 4 years here. For Logan, it was four. I think they were both four-year players. So you went up against Brady in practice every day. We talk about, You know, Brady having the ability to understand what Vrabel does, and, you know, we know Malcolm and his where he's not good, maybe where they could attack or how they can block him up front.
Yeah.
I just wonder how much those two guys, and we hear this from other corners like Gilmore. When we talk to Gilmore, there's things you pick up within the league by studying the opponent, by knowing the player. Revis talked about that when he was here. I learned to be a different type of practice player. Brady made me more competitive when I went up against him in practice. All that type of stuff. I'm just wondering how much, if anything, that they picked up where it's a subtle look, because it's still the same
tendencies.
Piece. Edelman,
right?
You know, it's a – Ryan would say, yes. And I'm just saying, it doesn't have to be a call. It doesn't have to be a head slap, you know, tap of the leg or anything like that, or, you know, a whirly bird sign. Or
no, it might be, hey, I know how he likes to look off.
It's the look he gives Edelman. Or,
yes.
You know what I mean? And also, this is going to be the fun chess match where – okay, Brady knows that they got it. Is Brady going to use any of that to bait him? Or, okay, these two guys know that when I give Jules a look and I give him the nod, he's running the slant inside, and it's a spot route. Can I do Jules give you the head slap, and it's going to be an in-and-out return?
So you think the two players playing hoops on the mini hoop are what? It's a sign of confidence?
A little bit of sign of confidence. Like, we're good to go, man. Like, we know this guy. We're excited to play against this team. Not that I read anything into that, but just, I'm like, that's funny. You know, here you know the Boston media is coming in. Locker room's open.
Well, they may not know that.
Or is this just a loosey-goose bunch that's going
to
get
the door? I was down there on a Wednesday. Like,
well, it's open locker room.
I know it is, but you may not expect to see anybody from New England on Wednesday.
But it's still open locker room. And and I just remember us going back. Parcells would always say this too, man. Hey, guys, media time is for media time, okay? So when the media's in there, get your bleep together. Be aware of everything. Be aware of this guy talking to that guy, and be careful of those guys trying to do something to you. Not taking your stuff, but drive a stake between, like, you and me. Like, the media's in there for a reason to cause, to stir things up.
Wedge.
Yeah, wedge.
Drive the wedge.
Right. Yep.
John in Reno has a thought on Mike Vrabel and the Titans. John.
What's up?
Hey, Bill. Good to hear that you're feeling better. I just want to throw my two cents in here.
I
think he's feigning positivity. I think all these calls are starting to get to him, and he's about to crack soon.
Who?
Talking about Sarge.
Oh, damn it. Damn it. Oh, man. What are we going to do about this?
I don't know.
Nothing can do about it. It's not
that,
even our
that
thing.
Guy got us like three times yesterday.
That's not my problem.
It's not
phone
even like our
problem.
Thing. Isn't this TNR's thing?
Well, TNR created him.
No, it's all of Senator Felgren Maz, too. This guy's just...
No, I know that.
Could you imagine
but
how much
didn't
it goes
start
up
with us or Felgren
no,
Maz.
It started... It's the morning zoo.
It's TNR.
Did it start with TNR, or did it start with this guy?
Yeah, Sarge,
I think it's just this guy.
Sarge,
it's
no.
This guy,
no,
but...
No, but Sarge...
This started with the Fred...
TNR like, railed on Sarge.
They built Sarge up, and then all of a sudden, Sarge hit his peak, and Fred didn't want anything more to do with Sarge.
It feels like they were
trying to get back in on Sarge.
Talking some smack about Sarge a few weeks back. Wasn't Sarge upset with
them?
I did
a couple cuts with Sarge for a couple promos. He said, to see those guys don't bleep you. Sarge's getting a little upset with it.
See?
And I don't blame him. But I also told him this.
Yes. Not our
still
deal.
Still attention, Sarge. People are talking about you. So we're talking about Sarge right now. Sarge isn't even on air. So there you go.
Well, then that caller.
You think
not,
he's behind it then?
No.
Master
no,
plan?
He's not no. smart enough. Definitely not smart enough.
No, no, no.
Sarge isn't that good.
We love Sarge.
Yeah.
We do.
He did a good job yesterday.
That goofy bastard.
Just some uncomfortable blurts. That's all. Here
yeah,
there.
Mike, was he in with you yesterday?
Pardon me?
Was he in yesterday?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
Wasn't going for the crossover.
Oh.
Stayed up.
See, there is something there, Jim. I knew I wasn't making that up.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, crazy. I thought the caller was out of the blue. Just that caller just decided that's what he was going to do. I don't think it's a morning show creation.
But it started on that show.
It started on that show.
Because that show has railed on Sarge.
It's now affected the station. I think they get Jones, too. He's got to get Jones.
I'm sure he does.
Probably does. Jones probably like, huh? Let's get back to ripping JBJ, you know?
let's get back to crushing JBJ.
Yeah, another ridiculous award for Mookie Betts. Outfielder award. Jones is probably picking Tennessee this week.
What he got through with was, do we think that Mike Vrabel creates some sort of advantage for the Titans going up against the Patriots? It's been a long time since Vrabel's been here. I know that he's familiar with the system. He worked under Bill O'Brien in Houston.
I know that
he's had experience coaching against the Patriots.
Which defense is better? Which pieces, Houston or Tennessee's? Come on. Houston has way better talent. And that's not to be offensive to anything that Tennessee is. Tennessee's building it the right way. I think Vrabel's a good young coach. But the pieces to what he wants to do to apply pressure work more in Houston. And I just wonder how much he knows, Jesus, I'd love to do what we did in Houston, but I can't because I don't have the type of talent to do it.
Do you know that I feel good for some reason about the Titans winning against Dallas? I feel like, there's their feel-good win. Get that thing out of the way. Like, now we know that's not happening this week. Isn't that sort of, it's a weird thought. Like, because they played well, they're not going to be able to do that.
I watched
twice in a week.
And again, I watched them again earlier in the year when they played Jacksonville. That was a tight game. And that was right after New England lost, I think. And you're thinking, wow, okay, this team's pretty good.
Wasn't that a 9-6 game?
Yeah, it was ugly. That thing was freaking ugly. They muddied that game up. Can they really muddy this game up with all New England's talent on offense?
Probably not.
I mean, you at least got to score 20-24, right?
They've given up 27 points to Miami. That's the most they've given up all year. 23 to Philly.
To who?
Miami. 23 to Philly. 20 to the Chargers. 21 to the Ravens. Oof. 17 to the Texans. 13 to the Bills.
Jesus.
14 to the Cowboys.
Wow. That's trending the right way. Hey, that's to the point of Halsey. They're a confident crew.
And they've done that with
their number one defense in the NFL.
Yeah. Bill said that in his, his press conference.
Yeah, but if you were to take a defense, would you rather take...
Oh! Jesus!
Who would you rather take, though? Would you rather take the talent of the Texans, or would you rather take Tennessee's defense?
Texans.
Yeah, I would, too.
Did I just ask you that?
Yeah, we just talked about that. Yeah. Like, I don't care that they're the number one defense.
What song was that?
I don't know. I don't recognize
it. Never heard it.
Sounds like 80s movie montage music.
Wow.
Skate mix. Al Martino. This one goes out to you.
We're at the Warrior Ice Arena today.
You ever been to roller rink?
Community skate going on out there.
The disco ball?
Community skate.
Let's go to the roller rink a lot. That's
get
what
the
you
French
did.
Fries.
French fries video. Not ping pong. What's that?
Foosball?
No.
Pinball?
Pinball. Pinball. Pinball, French fries, and a little roller rink.
What's that?
A little jazz. Ding, 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 ding. My favorite one used to be a Kiss one. I used to play this Kiss pinball game.
Oh, Kiss pinball is awesome. Like the mecca.
And then it'd just light up, and it'd be Gene Simmons.
Did you miss the roller rink era, Beetle?
Oh, God, yeah. There was never a roller
rink. There wasn't a kid that I didn't have in my class that didn't have a birthday that didn't have it at the roller rink.
Skate World.
Or candle pin.
That was ours.
Pin bowling, or you go to Skate World.
What was the name of yours?
What?
Your roller rink place. That
Something Plex. It was up on Route 51 in Ross River Township. It was like Chili's. Oh, God.
Route 51. Dilly's?
Ross River.
Dilly's? Was it Dilly's?
Look up.
Dilly's. Dilly's skating.
Come on, Tom.
Is Dilly's skating?
Dilly's skating.
Is that what's going on?
I'll tell you what. And I said this before.
What?
Get a quick shot at Dave for NBC Sports Boston. These kids...
Pretty good skaters.
You put my
age.
Kids out there on skates, or your three little wimpies, or his two,
or
Jim's two. There's no way any of our kids keep their feet out there.
They're probably
saying because they don't know how to skate. These kids do.
These kids know how to skate.
Why would? But if you're having a field trip, if my kids' class had a field trip and they won the class,
80% of them won't be able to skate. Is this a city thing?
Something tells me that these kids come here often.
Okay.
Because they all know how to skate.
I'm impressed. Well. I'm impressed with these little kids.
All decent skaters.
Look at them little snowmen out there. I'd be taking them things out.
Looks like it's a nearby school or something that comes.
Sure does.
Take some field trips here. So they can all skate. I want to talk about something that you guys probably touched on yesterday.
What's that?
Bruce Irvin?
Oh, yeah.
I want to talk about
your thoughts on
that. Can I talk about that?
Absolutely.
Let's do that coming up next. We'll talk about more on Mike Vrabel. I don't get to 1 o'clock.
Okay.
All that on the way.
Is a great quarterback. He's not terrible, but to me, he's above average.
Yeah, exactly. And my point was just that Sarge Riley sucks.
Who?
Sarge Riley of 98.5 Sports Hub.
The Bruins are in action tonight on the Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand are on the Star Market Sports Deck at Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This hour, Zolak and Bertrand is brought to you by New Pro, Scott Zolak's home improvement company. Cold weather's coming. Get your home ready with new windows, doors, siding, roofing, and baths. Follow Zoe and the New Pros to New Pro. Call 1-800-GO-NEW-PRO today.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand here on the Star Market Sports Deck at Warrior Ice Arena. Let's talk about something you talked about yesterday, Bruce Irvin. I heard that, and I thought, wow, that's sort of means that Bill doesn't think the defensive line is good enough. Feels like they need a little help there.
Well, that's about the point where they picked up Harrison last year.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, they were desperate for the help last year, right?
They were more desperate last year than they are this year.
This year, you know, they are coming off their best game, I think. Are they not?
Absolutely. That was by far, and I asked him that for All Access. You'll see it Friday night at 7. That he said, yeah, it's our best pass rush game.
Does that tell you that he's not buying in on it? That's what I think. You know, because listen, we took calls pregame for people saying they should go after Bruce Irvin, and we talked pregame before the Packers game about, you know, where's Adrian Claiborne been? Why hasn't this guy done more? Hardy, I'm sure you did the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then they came out, and they all had a good game.
Right.
And the defense had its best game of the year.
Without question.
And so we all naturally want to say, oh, good. You know, we believe that these guys had more talent than what they had shown, especially Claiborne. So we're all, like, buying in on it now.
Yeah.
Sounds like the head coach might not be buying in on the performance.
I don't know if it's even that, too. And he always talks about making the team better, right? You're not in on Irvin if you're in on the $3.8 million that needed to be picked up. Once he cleared waivers, now all of a sudden we're interested. It's good value for an experienced player. I think he's a one-trick pony. I think he would have added a lot to it. It's funny that the Steelers, another team that we talked about, being in on it and on the rise, were also in on him and reportedly offered
not
same
reportedly,
type of money.
Not reportedly. Bruce Irvin said the
Patriots
and Steelers offered more money, and I still chose Atlanta.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Bert was in yesterday, and he said for 5 years that guy's wanted to go back to Atlanta. That's where he's from. That's where his home is. That's his former defensive coordinator from Legion of Boom. That's the head coach that knows how to use him. So, but here's my thing. I'm glad that if that's the case, that if it's about where you play, and it's about me being happy and not maybe the best football environment for me. Now Atlanta's a good team. They may have a shot if they get hot. I don't know. We'll see. But if football's not that important to you, I'm glad he chose Atlanta and took less money to go there as opposed to just coming
here.
Well,
it's not that football. It's that winning isn't the most important thing to you.
Yeah.
You know, being in a good being comfortable is what's most important.
Yesterday I talked about Mason, too. Remember Mason? Chose to go to Baltimore because his wife liked the shopping in Baltimore and the city of Baltimore. When the Patriots offered more money from Tennessee, remember the back and forth he had with Belichick in Football Life?
Derek Mason?
Hey, Mason, look at the scoreboard. Yeah.
Derek Mason's wife liked the shopping in Baltimore?
Loved the city of Baltimore, liked the city, liked the shopping there, and said, I'm more comfortable going to Baltimore. There's nothing in Boston, nothing in New England. Yeah.
The shopping in Baltimore.
Yeah, I'm like one of those elephants, man. I'll forget that stuff.
Yeah, no, I know you're like an elephant. Yeah. You forget nothing.
Selective memory.
But I think that's interesting that he was going after Bruce Irvin after the performance of the defense on Sunday. I guess he's not buying in on that.
Well, I just think it's, you know,
sample size of that unit underperforming is greater than it is the performance on Sunday.
And also, you go back to last year when you had guys going down left and right. It's attrition, too. You know, you've got half the season left. Things could happen. I'm trying to add depth to the football team, make the football team better. Not necessarily a Bruce Irvin thing, but make the team better.
What happened to Malcolm Brown?
he made a couple plays the other night, and then he gets out
just
there.
Just in general, this year. We haven't talked much about him.
I thought he was heavily potential trade bait, like to the Detroit rumors that we heard constantly with Golden Tate, that it was going to be Malcolm Brown and an additional player and maybe a pick for Golden Tate.
Do you think Malcolm Brown is here again next year?
No.
I don't think he is either. How are we going to look at that pick in hindsight when we look back and say, Malcolm Brown, first-round pick?
See, boy, there's times, too, that guys like Lawrence Guy don't play, and then, boom, he flashes and makes a play, punches the ball at the other night. Danny Shelton hasn't played much, and then down inside the goal line he's playing. What do you got, Jim?
No? I thought you had something.
I just remember that pick being a fun night.
That was a fun night. We were at Foxwoods, I recall.
What pick?
We had a draft party at Foxwoods.
Cedars.
With our buddy Felix Rappaport.
All of us were there.
May he rest in peace.
We were there, right?
That was a good time.
Nice.
Yeah, we were all there.
We thought they drafted the next Vince Wilfork.
Yeah, they didn't. I remember the day after.
Did we do a show there?
We did. We did it the next day.
Okay.
And we talked about that pick and thought, oh, this is going to be great. We were excited about the pick. I don't think he's ever really met the expectations.
No, not even close.
Not even close. No, I don't think – I wouldn't call it a bust. I wouldn't say it's a first round bust.
It's a Maroney type
yeah,
signing.
Like, yeah, he was okay.
He played a somewhat productive player. It's funny if the tag it was somewhat. But from an expectation for that guy coming out of Texas, he was supposed to be the next Vince Wilfork.
He never turned into that.
No.
For sure. Yeah. 617-779-0985. Mike is in Beverly. What's up, Mike?
Mikey.
Hey, Beetle. You're having a good day today. I like what you have to say. And Scott, as always, you're a pleasure to listen to.
Thank you, Mike.
Are we getting pranked again?
No.
Is this
Mike in Beverly? Stop.
All right.
Scott, I know you got some inside information. I don't know if you're going to be able to talk to it over the phone. What was the real reason in the real inside for Malcolm Butler getting discharged, per se? I thought he did a hell of a job. He wasn't a bad cat. He did what he did. He got us a Super Bowl with that pick. And for him to, get discharged like that from the Patriots and now being having to go against Belichick, do you have any inside information about what really happened there?
So, let me share that right now, over the airways.
Why didn't Malcolm Butler play in the Super Bowl? You've been holding back on us for 9 months now.
I have no clue.
Do you know who I blame for this part of it? By the way, Mike in Beverly, thanks for the call.
Thanks, Mike.
While he was saying discharge, I was waiting for him to say dishonorably discharged, Sarge, something.
Right.
I'm now thinking every call. They're in my head. The Sarge callers are in there.
Sarge
is they
in
got real
head.
Estate in my brain now.
This is great.
All right.
Keep them coming.
You are a jackass. Certified. What is with Felger and Maz and Murray? All of them. Really, Felger and Murray, I think, like alluding to, there's a story and catch me out on the street and maybe I'll tell you.
Oh, is this the NBC Sports
Boston
rumor?
What are they doing? What are they doing?
No. Felger has said, I know what happened.
But
I just don't want to be the one to report it.
Why? If you know.
I know.
I know the story.
Because they don't know. It's just more stuff that they've heard.
Well, everybody's heard something.
None of them have spoken to Belichick and have Belichick say to them, this is why Malcolm Butler didn't play in the Super Bowl.
But do they feel confident enough about what the incident is?
Apparently not. Otherwise, they would say it on the radio.
I mean, this stuff goes on in all sports where you hear something and, boy, you think you got this.
I'm not telling
story
you if I know it or not, the story, because I'm not going to do what they do.
No, it's just more rumor and innuendo. And again, it goes back to never getting an answer. And whether you think that as a Patriots fan, you deserve it. If you're lying to me if you tell me you don't want it.
All right.
You don't want the answer.
Right. My best answer, and you guys were there. I think you were there. Before Gucci Mane came on, and we're standing there at the post game party, and we're over at this bar on the side.
Talk to him,
and in walks Malcolm Butler, his family, and his agent. And I chatted with Malcolm for about 5-10 minutes. And I'm like, dude, I don't know what to tell you, but you're probably not going to be here. But good luck. Appreciate you giving me a chance to call a Super Bowl or two. And he said, thank you. I said, what the hell happened? He goes, I don't know. The player himself, I don't know.
He claims he didn't even know.
Like, the decision was made. You're not going to play. We're going to tell you that, but you're going to dress out.
This story.
Build it. I mean.
That Felger and Murray have, right?
Which makes me believe it. And I've heard that story, and I don't believe it based on what that.
Okay, no.
By the way, Malcolm approached it with me.
Okay, but Is it the reason why he didn't play? No. I don't believe that is true. It may be one of 10 reasons why he didn't play, but that is not the reason why he didn't play.
It's just crazy that, you know, 98% of plays and you just don't have a snap against that team when you couldn't stop that team.
He had a bad week. Malcolm had a bad week.
Again, like he told you too, kind of had a running. Well, you
did not have the best. Have the best possible approach.
No.
To the week.
Like
that doesn't mean he broke any team rules.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that he got into any fights.
See, and that's part.
It means that just the way you carry yourself is important.
And that's part
in those big weeks.
That's part of the problem when you win the AFC Championship game. Is you got 2 weeks until the Super Bowl. So there's a little 3-day stretch there where you're gonna have some time to yourself. It's something happened where you got
spend
screwed up
wisely.
Prior to game install and all that. And then the report was that he had the flu and he stayed back and he was in the hospital. I don't ever remember anybody knowing that he was in that hospital. He said, well, I kind of had the stuff he knows, kind of had the stuff he had, made a trip to the hospital. But when was that? And when wasn't it? And when was the exact point you got there? Was it Tuesday night? Was it Wednesday? You know, and then all the reports were he went somewhere Thursday night. He said, no, I didn't go anywhere Thursday night. Everybody knows that. I'm here. I'm telling you on it. So, I mean, it's just crazy the way some of the stuff thinks you it would add up where it really doesn't.
Funny story on the conference call with Mike Vrabel yesterday about a trip to New Orleans.
Mardi Gras.
We'll get to that coming up after these headlines. No commercials.